Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. The focus of today's show is the City of Astoria's long-awaited plans to remodel the library, which has not received a significant update since its construction 50 years ago. The city has been discussing renovating or building a new library for some 10 years, and just last summer had an architecture firm develop six options that ranged from a $7 million remodel to a $24 million combination new library and much-needed housing units. Those plans were all scrapped, though, after some residents told the city council they did not want their taxes increased to pay for library improvements. So the key this time around, and notably the challenge, is that the city will not seek a bond measure to fund the improvements. Here to explain how the city is going to do that are Mayor Arlene Lemire and Library Director Jimmy Pearson. Welcome to the show, Arlene and Jimmy.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Joan.
I'd like to start by asking you what happened last night at the work session between the City Council and the various library board members.
Last night was just a banner night as far as I'm concerned. We've been working so hard for so long to bring a new library or a renovated library to fruition. And we were waiting for the City Council to have a unanimous vote to support whatever decision we had made. And what was put forth was that we would remodel in place our library of 50 years, and it was unanimously passed. We talked about the amount of money that we hoped to raise, and no one seemed to blink an eye, and it was wonderful to see the kind of support we had from the audience. The library board was there in force. The library foundation board was there. The friends of the library, the staff of the library, as well as a lot of citizens who have been involved in trying to get a much better library for us for years.
And what is the amount that needs to be raised?
We're hoping to raise $3.5 million. This is in addition to the 1.6 which the city has. So it will take us up to just a little above $5 million. And this seems to be about what we need in order to convert our library or renovate our library into a 21st century library.
Jimmy, what was your response to the council's decision last night?
You know, I am ecstatic. I think it's an exciting time for Astoria and for the citizens. I think it's a phenomenal time for me and my staff to be part of this momentum moving forward. It really feels good. I mean, the Daily Astorian did an editorial back talking about the library as the heart of the community. I see it that way, and I think that we have a lot to offer and the ability to offer it in the building that it's been in for 50 years also speaks to my love of tradition and history.
Okay. $3.5 million is obviously a lot of money, especially for a small community. Are you confident that the library board that is charged with raising that money, the foundation, can do that?
I think so. They've already raised quite a bit of money just for capacity building to buy those kinds of things that we need to make an office work, of computer, paper, pencils, all the supplies that we need. And when I talked to former Mayor Willis Van Dusen regarding the amount of the ask, he was not daunted by the figure at all. He said that's approximately what we raised for the Aquatic Center, and this community did that.
And that was about 15 years ago?
Something like that, yeah. And so he said, you know, you start with the small grants, and you can then take those small grants to the larger grantees and say, look what we've done so far. And then when they give you the grants, then you go to the larger ones and say, look what we've done now with the funds that we've been able to raise.
And Willis is leading the fundraising committee.
Yes, he is.
He's the longtime former mayor and Astoria native. So the budget, if they can raise approximately $3.5 million on top of the city's $1.6 million, won't be as much as what the city was originally hoping to do for a remodel if the council had chosen that option. So will the city be able to do what it needs to do to make the library a 21st century library?
So, you know, Joan, people use the term 21st century library a lot, and I think that's because it relates to the library renovation study that was completed in 2013. That study said $3.4 million was needed to renovate the existing building. The figure that we've come up with is that study also directs us to 4 to 6% inflation per year starting in 2014. So with a goal of cutting a ribbon in 2020 of a renovation, that takes us to possibly 2019, which is where we come up with the number of the $5 million or that would be needed to renovate the existing building. The library renovation study is like anything else. It asks for a lot. The community, what do you want? You're hiring a contractor for your house. What do you want? Well, I want new countertops. It's going to be a difference in... You're going to have to make decisions along those lines. Do you want granite? Do you want quartz? Do you want Corian? There will be the same things in place for the library. The things that I've read and picked up on, and as I've observed people using the library, study rooms, light, more natural light possibly, and a collection that meets their needs. And how do we do that in the existing building? I think the $5 million will address those issues with the right design and architectural firm hired.
Mayor Lemire, I know you were very disappointed, especially as a former librarian, I imagine, when the council voted in a split vote not to seek any tax bond measure to fund either a remodel or a new library. And that was late last year. How are you feeling about the remodel now?
Oh, I'm feeling much better. I was feeling kind of blue after that vote, I must admit. But I think it forced us to put together a very strong foundation board. And we'd kind of been lax about what we were going to be doing. We thought it would be an easy sell, and it wasn't. And so it just forced us to work a lot harder. And we have a great Library Foundation board now, I think, led by former Mayor Van Dusen. And I'm confident that we're on the right track now and ready to move ahead.
And I believe I heard that requests for proposals are going to be put out shortly. And is that for an architecture firm?
So the next step will be for securing a firm. There's going to be a couple of things that will happen. We need to do an architecture and engineering study of the current building and the existing systems. And that can be coordinated by an architectural firm that will then, after that study, also probably, possibly, well, they will. They'll come up with a design concept. It may not be the final concept, but it will be enough to allow the foundation the ability to have something to show potential donors. This is what we're going for. This is what we'd like it. This is a potential what it's going to look like. It won't be set in stone until the final fundraising is accomplished, but at some point we'll stop the capital campaign and then start construction with what we have in hand.
Okay. Since an architecture firm has developed 6 plans in the past, and I know some of them were for a brand new building, which doesn't apply now, can you use any of the plans that they already have created and the city has paid for?
Well, I think we can certainly use some of the concepts. I mean, we can go way back to the library renovation plan of 2013, and there's a lot in there that we can utilize. The main thing is in a new library to have those things that the population really wants, that the community really wants, and how it's designed is not nearly as critical as making sure that we're satisfying the demands of, or requests, I should say, of the community.
And what do you see, both of you, as the biggest needs that the library now is not able to provide?
Handicapped access, for sure. You know, I've been appalled at thinking that there's a portion of our community that cannot get up to our fiction section at all. And since that's the section I use primarily, and I'm able to climb those stairs at this point of my life, it's very disappointing that we haven't been able to offer that to all of our citizens. Our bathrooms are not handicapped accessible. The entrances are really not handicapped accessible. So there are a lot of issues regarding handicapped accessibility that need to be addressed. And I'm very excited that I know those will be addressed in the new renovation.
So if there is a second floor, there would have to be an elevator installed as part of the renovation?
So that would be left to the architectural firm on how we would do that. There's a couple of ways that you can provide access, in my understanding, whether it's an elevator, possibly a lift. My goal with a renovation would be to take the more popular items out of the mezzanine, if we kept the mezzanine, to move them down to a level and possibly put Astoriana, which is a research collection, on a second level, which isn't as people aren't requesting access to that on a day in and day in basis. And the accessibility, that would, for me, that is a huge issue. We have a new door on the parking lot entrance that you can now enter. The center bathroom is accessible.
Oh, is it?
So we do have one bathroom and on the main floor that is accessible for people, and also for me, electricity. The 21st Century Library, we have, you know, we're running from the wall over to the floor, people constantly going over them. I want electricity in a
new
building.
Especially since people bring their laptops into the computer all the time. I am curious, Jimmy, since you're relatively new to the community, having moved here late last year, what are your impressions, or what were your impressions when you first walked into the library?
So I first walked into the library in March of 2016 as just someone wanting to get a library card because I collect them as a hobby.
Now, you didn't have the job at that point, did you?
I did not have the job at the point. We were just on vacation, and I came up and found out about the opening. And then the next day, spent a couple of hours speaking with Jane Tucker, my predecessor. You know, certainly my vision or my views have evolved over time. And actually being in the library, being part of it, it is really cool for the community. And for me, finding the history that we're, John Gutenberger and his students are locating in the basement. The library at one time possibly was going to be a library / museum. And so John's article recently spoke to 130 years of history that flow through the basement of the library. We have some phenomenal things that were on display last night. We have the first printed newspaper for Astoria, the Tri-Weekly Astorian, July 1st, 1873. We have the first edition.
And that's found in the basement of the library.
And these are located in the basement of the library. So that it's, I think that there's a lot that can be done to meet the needs of our residents and our citizens, and I'm excited about how we do that.
If you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded interview with Astoria Mayor Arlene Lemire and Library Director Jimmy Pearson, who are speaking about plans to remodel the library for the first time in its 50 years. Some people assume that in this age of the internet, libraries are obsolete. We don't need to go to a library to check out a book. We can just do that online. So how do you respond to that when you hear that line given?
I think both of us are going to want to respond to this one.
Yeah, I assumed you would.
It's a pretty hot topic. But I still haven't found a picture book in a Kindle form that you can take to bed and read to your kids. I think the children's books in particular need to be read, and they need to be part of a family setting, not sending your child home with a Kindle. And the other thing is that the library is for everybody. It doesn't matter whether you have 10 cents in your pocket or $10,000. You can come to the library, and it's a place where you can feel safe. It doesn't matter if you're transgender or straight or gay. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or whatever. It's simply a safe and secure place in the community. And I don't think it can be replaced. It's as the study says, it's the core of the community.
Jimmy.
So I hear that a lot as a librarian and as someone who has transitioned into an e-reader for most of the majority of my reading. There are still those moments the power goes out or your device dies. There are items that I would rather have in a book form to review. The libraries remain relevant for communities if you have library staff that remain dedicated to providing the services the community is asking for. A library means different things to different people. You have people that come in, grab a book, and they leave. You have people that come in and sit, and they use the internet. You have people that need a study room, a quiet place away from a noisy environment at home. Possibly they're studying and they're earning their college degree. We're going to remain relevant. And libraries are changing. They're providing different services. There's a library of things that you can check out in Denver. So you have an item that you can't afford to buy on your own, but you need it for a renovation project or something. You can go down and check it out from the library. There are so many ways that we can remain relevant and will remain relevant. Books are part of it. They're a large part of it, but also it's my job to make sure that we are offering the services that people are going to continue to utilize.
On a typical day, who are the library's users locally?
So you're asking me a question that I will tell you. It's related to privacy. I don't ever respond or talk about who's in the library because
well,
you have a
names.
Freedom to read. So we have people that come in and they do. They sit and they use our internet. We have people that are there biding their time until maybe another service in the community opens. We have busy parents. We have kids. We have people that have been walking through the doors since the beginning. We have people that one of the first gentlemen I met in Astoria my first week here in his 50s, you know, told me he's been coming to the library since he's 6 years old. And so this is a huge part of the community and the people that are coming in. And we're actually, with the right things, we're bringing people in that maybe never have stepped it through the doors. And I'm telling everybody I meet, I've seen you, now come see me. Be part of the conversation, because as Willis Van Dusen said last night, it's going to take all of us. I said that as a candidate, and don't have to come in and get a library card. I'd love for you to do it, but come in, look around, see what it is and see what we offer. Be part of the discussion.
Okay. When ideally would you hope to begin construction?
I think honestly it is going to probably depend on how fast we can raise the goal that we've set for the foundation has set for themselves. If we get close to reaching that, the city council met in January and their goal is to renovate and have it completed by 2020. And I think that's realistic. Mm-hmm. I think that gives us time to do a great capital campaign to be able to, this is it for 50 years. This library has been, they've had a couple of renovations. They've increased the size of the mezzanine in 1987. And so it's very important for me that we take the time and make sure that we do this right for the next 50 years.
Do you know how long construction would take?
Really have no idea. I think it depends on whether it's strictly on the main level of the library or if we were to go down into the basement. I think that would increase the time of construction probably considerably.
And do you have any idea if the library will be out of commission for users?
No, we will find a way somewhere, somehow. The City Hall moved into the ARC building. We will have some kind of presence within the community. It just remains to be seen what that looks like given the time. There could be something that opens up across the street if that building is renovated or something's done with it. It's really interesting that the library over the years has been located in that common core. It's fascinating when you do the research about where it is. So we will somehow, some way provide services while the library is closed.
Okay. I'd like to have you describe the library for somebody who's never seen it. It was designed by Ebba Wicks Brown, who was the daughter of John Wicks, noted famed Astoria architect. So what can you say about the architecture on the outside as well as the interior?
Well, the architecture on the outside is known as brutalist architecture, and it is a type of architecture. Ebba Wicks Brown also designed the Columbia River Maritime Museum. And one of the interesting things was we've had some conversations from folks in town who don't want that architecture changed in any way, the exterior. And yet Ebba Wicks Brown, before she passed away, was invited to come down to the Maritime Museum and take a look at what their renovation was going to look like. And she was very supportive and said, yes, this carries out what I had in mind, and certainly that renovation has turned out wonderfully.
So it's not a static building necessarily.
It's not a static building.
Jimmy, how would you describe the library as far as its appearance? When you first saw the exterior, it's kind of a love it or hate it exterior, you might say. What was your reaction?
I will be brutally honest and say that brutalism not my favorite style of architecture. I appreciate, you know, who the architects were. They designed, actually, this is a really cool story that I just learned of. Ernest and Ebba Wicks Brown, Ernest in 1952, her father designed the Washtenaw County building in Michigan. I was born in Washtenaw County. My parents were married in that building by one of the county judges. So that's a pretty cool thing to think about, you know, how our lives intersect with each other.
Nice serendipity.
And I would say that as I came into the building and as I have been in the building and been part of it, I'm beginning to realize that the building has a story to tell. And Bruce Burney certainly is a large part of that story. Jane Tucker took us to this point where we're at to be able to renovate and have all of these ideals documented and all of these surveys that people have participated in. It's amazing when you actually sit and think about what this has meant for this community over the years.
Now, Jane was your predecessor as library director.
Jane served for 17 years.
And explain who Bruce Burney was.
Bruce Burney is still in our community. Bruce Burney was the librarian, the director in charge of the building when it first opened in 1967.
If you dream about what the new library will look like, the remodeled new library, what does it look like for each of you?
Well, for me, being a children's librarian for 25 years, I'm most interested in what we do with the children's library portion. And I've seen some just great entrances to children's libraries, and I know Jimmy has talked about some that he's seen as well. One that I saw that I just loved was that you walked through a dragon's mouth to get into the children's area. And I think it's wonderful if you have some way of transitioning from the library itself into an area that's strictly for the kids. And I'm hoping that we can do something inventive and fun and enjoyable for them. I was a school librarian for 21 years and in Virginia, and we were fortunate enough in that state that we had a school librarian in every single school. And that was one of the very sad things when I came here to Astoria, to find that one by one the schools were dropping their school librarians. And there is so much to learn about a library and about about taking notes, about deciding on a topic, if you're going to do a paper, all these things that school librarians teach, and that's lost to these students in Astoria. So I'm hoping that there is some way that we can incorporate some of that with our children's librarian.
Okay, Jimmy, how do you conceive of the remodeled library?
You know, I spoke with, when I was on Norma Hernandez's show, I told her, I want the wow factor. I want you to walk in, and especially for the children, the teens. I grew up in the young adult world in libraries. So adults are okay, they're cool. But my heart as a library director and as a library manager has always fallen to the young adult population. So creating a space where they feel safe, where they feel welcome, where they can integrate within the library with other users. The wow factor as far as the entrance to the children's area, there's some really cool things that I think we can do. And I have a line on somebody who might be able to design Max's boat from where the wild things are as kind of a feature in the children's area. I want kids to come in and talk about, I went to the library and now we have families in the area that are coming as adults with their children. And I used to be here. I used to sit here. I want that experience to continue to weave its way through our lives. And when you come to the library and then you bring your kids and your grandkids, I want that to be part of the conversation of our families and our people within the community.
That sounds wonderful. Now, the city has been discussing remodeling or building a new library for some 10 years. So have you encountered many skeptical residents who really want this to happen but are not holding their breath?
Yes, we have, and but many of them were skeptical of putting the library in Heritage Square. I think that was one question. Do we really want that in our central square? And then there were those skeptics who felt like your first question, do we really need libraries in this day of technology? But I think that most of them have come around knowing that we're going to utilize the building that we have now. That's one of the things that I discovered in this whole process, is that Astorians love their history and they love their old buildings. And if there's a way that we can utilize that building, that's wonderful. And I've had to come around a little bit to that point of view, because I kept thinking of a brand new library that we didn't have to do any maneuvering around, and we could also keep the old library open while that new library was being built. But I think that there are many now who were skeptical who are coming around to the idea that, yes, it is certainly a facility that needs renovating. And since we're doing it in place, they're coming around to the idea.
Thank you. Jimmy, we just have a couple seconds left.
You only have to come in to feel the momentum. Talk to my staff, talk to people that have been part of this conversation. There are a lot of people engaged. There are a lot of great people. We have a lot of talent with the Friends. We have a lot of talent on the foundation and on the board. We have phenomenal fundraising experience with Kate Summers, and we have financial capabilities with David Ozer. We have really phenomenal people that are part of this process. So I would challenge you to talk to any one of them and say it's not going to happen. I think you'll find that $5 million, there's a lot of talk about, well, we come in too low. And I'm like, let's raise what we can. And if we raise more, let's get a children's librarian out of this.
Great. Well, thank you both. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to thank my guests, Astoria Mayor Arlene Lemire and Library Director Jimmy Pearson, for talking about plans to remodel the library for the first time in its 50 years. Thank you both.
Thank you, Joan.
This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. Perspectives is heard every other Friday on the stations of Coast Community Radio. You also can find show podcasts on the station's website, Thanks for listening.